Welcome back to that 590 show. Matt Berger and Matt Rocchio behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is the longtime baseball writer covering St. Louis sports. He does so at stlsportspage.com. You could follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines. Rob, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. So after this series win against the Chicago Cubs, what do we know about this St. Louis Cardinals baseball team, the 2017 edition?
They played two really good games on Saturday and Sunday.
No, I mean,
you know, you can't judge any big, you know, big picture judgment on a couple of games, I don't think. But I think overall the trend is that they're playing very well. You know, a good, very good road trip, obviously 6-0. Got a tremendous spark out of Tommy Pham and Magnarius Sierra that nobody really saw coming. You know, once you lost Piscotty and Fowler, you know, for sure how long, and then, you know, Jose Martinez goes down. I mean, I think you're all kind of not pushing the panic button, but you really wonder what was going to happen. And those guys came through and did a big job. And that's what successful teams have to have, that they have to have some unexpected, you know, positive things happen over the course of a long season.
I was reading what you wrote at stlsportspage.com about Adam Wainwright, and it sounds like, do you think that maybe he's found kind of like a different way to pitch? He's maybe going to try this slower curveball and mix it in with a fastball that can still top 90 miles an hour. Do you think he's found a new groove?
I think it's going to be interesting to see what he does over the long term. I mean, I asked him yesterday, I said, did you think you threw more pitches above 90 or under 80 yesterday? And he said above 90, which kind of surprised me because it didn't seem that way. But, you know, maybe I wasn't tracking every pitch, too. So I'm not sure how, you know, for sure that the numbers worked out that way. But he said, you know, that to be honest with it, I said something about changing the way he pitched. He said, to be honest, the way I was pitching the first part of the season was different than what I normally pitch. He said, this is going to be some more, you know, when I change, I've got to get back to doing what I was doing, which I think was an interesting angle to look at it that way. So we'll see. I mean, as I say, it's kind of, again, one game I'm not really ready. You know, he said, too, you know, he said, I'm not ready to jump over the moon because I had a 7 scoreless inning game. You know, so that's what I expected myself every night. So he needs to pitch better, you know, than he was, you know, the first month of the season for this team to be successful. But if he can pitch more games like, you know, than not, like yesterday, or, you know, 6 innings, 3 runs, you know, things like that, gives the team a chance to win, as, you know, maybe, you know, I guess no matter what number of starter you want to put on him, probably the fourth or fifth starter in the rotation based on success, you know, that's a pretty good, you know, pretty good situation.
And he has to feel, you know, I understand he's trying to downplay it a little bit, saying that he expects to have that same result every single time he goes out, but we haven't seen that from Adam Wainwright since going back right to last year. So he had to feel pretty good, though, knowing that, you know what, maybe I can't do this every single night, but I still have it.
Right, it reinforces the opinion in his mind that he can do it. You know, again, maybe not every night, but he can go into every start thinking he can do that. And I think he admitted he was starting to doubt himself. He was starting to think about, okay, can I get through 5? Can I get through 6? And he said, that's not the way I want to pitch. That's accepting mediocrity, and I'm not going to do that.
Cardinals outfielder Max Sierra, I know that people in the organization, they have hopes that he is going to be a very productive, if not outstanding, Major League Baseball outfielder. But so far, he looks to be as advertised. Tell me what your thoughts about him are so far this year. I mean, I know that it's a small sample size, but he's lived up to expectations so far.
I think he's one of those guys that may be a better major league player than he was a minor league player.
Yeah.
And that does happen on occasion. You know, I mean, you can almost put Diaz in that category too. Seems to rise to the challenge, accept the responsibility. He, you know, this is what his goal was to get to the big leagues. And now that he's there, you know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of roster decisions they make here in the next couple of weeks when you start getting some of these injured guys back, because he's proven, at least on a short sample size, that he can play and have success at this level. Now, can you expect that same level of success for a long term? Not yet, probably. You know, I'm not one that gets caught up in where a guy comes from as far as what level the minor leagues is at, because he proved in spring training that he was capable of starting the season at Double A. And we've seen many, many guys in the course of Major League Baseball, not just on the Cardinals, but other guys who come directly from Double-A to the big leagues and had success. So the only reason he wasn't playing at Double-A was a numbers situation. They wanted him to play every day. They didn't want to, you know, him sitting on the bench in the minor leagues. He needed to play. And they had, you know, once they signed Adolis Garcia, they kind of were one outfielder over what they thought they were going to have at that level. So when they decided to start Garcia at Double-A, then that bumped Sierra down to Palm Beach. But that doesn't really mean that he was, you know, he was there by merit. He was there because he was given the opportunity to play every day.
With Jose Martinez on the DL and Steven Piscotty on the DL, whenever they come back, with the way Tommy Pham's been playing and the way the Sierra's been playing, who goes down? Or you know, what kind of moves do you think they're going to make?
Well, Dar Peralta in that category, too.
Absolutely.
I know he's a different position, but you know, he's basically a bat off the bench because the way Jerko's playing right now, I mean, your starting infield is pretty well set, and you've got Garcia to back up at all three of those infield positions. So you know, I would say Peralta's roster spot is probably in jeopardy. I mean, the other guy I would look at is Randall Grichuk. I don't think he's got any guarantees of anything right now. You know, I mean, I think he's still a young player that's trying to find himself. Obviously, he's had flashes of success. We know what he can do when he hit, you know, gets a fastball that he can hit, but we've also seen him strike out on curveballs in the dirt a lot, too. So, I mean, I think, you know, they still are very high on him. They're not down on him by any means, but, you know, if you're riding the hot hand right now, you know, it's going to be an interesting call between, you know, Pham, Sierra, and Grichuk.
Now that Pham appears to have his vision problem corrected, and let's hope he stays healthy, and then you have Sierra, and like you mentioned, Randall Grichuk, that you have Steven Piscotty, and you have Jose Martinez just looking at the outfielders, and Johnny Peralta, I'm almost looking at this that, okay, I wonder who the trade bait's going to be if the Cardinals need to make a move at the trading deadline for a starting pitcher or someone else. Who do you think has the most trade potential?
Oh, of that group, I mean, Sierra would have the most potential, Grichuk probably too, but, well, Piscotty in there. But, you know, if guys that they would realistically consider trading, you know, they're not trading Piscotty, they're not trading Fowler, you know. And I think it would have to be a really blockbuster move to trade, you know, Randall Grichuk, but we saw it with Alan Craig too. You know, I mean, you know, nobody saw that trade coming a few years ago to the Red Sox. So, you know, I think that anything is in play there. It's just a matter of, you know, continued success and continued opportunities. What do these guys do? You know, what, you know, if Fowler comes back tomorrow night, we don't know that he will or not. Who's the odd man out tomorrow night? You know, who's going to sit tomorrow? And then that's again, is going to be an even more compounded decision, you know, in the next 4 days or so when you get Piscotty back.
Let's talk about the weekend's opponent, the Chicago Cubs. I know a lot of people, including yours truly here, figure that they were going to almost run away with the NL Central, and so far that has not been the case. What do you think has been their biggest issue, and do you think that's something that they can correct over the course of the season, or are they in real trouble?
They're not in real trouble. They're a good team. They're a good, a lot of good young players. They just haven't played well. They just haven't gelled, whether it's the you know, World Series hangover that we've seen other teams have after championship seasons or not. You know, that's a possibility. They've given up a lot of unearned runs, made a lot of errors. The defense hasn't been as sharp. Bryant hasn't hit. You know, Schwarber really hasn't hit. Rizzo hasn't hit. So their key guys are just not, you know, not performing nearly as well as they did last year. And that's, you know, as I say, we sometimes see that happen after team wins. I mean, but again, you know, the situation in NL Central is so bunched. You know, nobody's doing anything really to separate themselves. So that works in the favor really of both the Cardinals and the Cubs, because they, you know, the Cardinals started with such a poor start that they didn't get themselves buried because of that. And the Cubs are playing poorly right now, and they're not buried. I mean, they're what, 2.5 games out or something like that. I mean, it's, you know, 130 games to go in the season or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous to talk about, you know, them being out of the race or being, you know, a bad team. But I've never was, even from the start of the season, as high on some of the Cubs starting pitching as much as some other people were. And I'm really not 100% sold on their bullpen other than White Davis either. So I think they're a beatable team. I really do. I don't think they're an unbeatable team by any means.
Yeah, I said before the season started that I think if they have any kind of Achilles heel, I think it is going to be that starting pitching, because they are going to be getting older. You have Jake Arrieta getting older. You have John Lackey getting older. Jake Arrieta yesterday didn't look like the world beater that he was a couple years ago. And we all saw what happened with John Lester as well, too, where you just get on base. And I don't understand why more people don't run on John Lester.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean,
yeah,
like, everybody knows what his issues are with, you know, trying to throw over to first to try to keep runners close. And I would almost be like, look, as soon as you get on, it looks like he's going to the plate, I want you to take off. I don't understand. Like, I think they've been like five. I think there's been five steal attempts on John Lester all year, Rob. I don't understand it.
No, well, the Cardinals had four in the game the other night. Two of them didn't work. Two of them did, and those two that worked, why did two runs?
I think that was before the other night. Maybe the Cardinals only had five. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, just saying. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm not disagreeing with you, because if you looked it up, you ahead of me, because the numbers are probably right. But yeah, I agree with you in the fact that I don't know why more teams. And I've seen and we saw the Cardinals do it a year ago. I mean, John Lester had the same issues a year ago. This isn't anything new. And yet, you know, they just seem like there were more times than not they didn't take advantage of trying to run. I mean, Yadier Molina even stole a base on the guy. You know what I mean? So if he can do it, you know, I guarantee you Wong and Diaz and any of those guys can do it. The key is just getting on base first.
The Cardinals are off tonight, but they have a two-game series with the Boston Red Sox starting tomorrow night. I think it's the 50-year anniversary of the 1967 World Series between the two clubs. The Boston Red Sox are 19-18 on the year. They've had their issues as well with injury. A lot of people were expecting them to kind of run away with the AL East, but the New York Yankees so far and the Baltimore Orioles have really made it interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting race to watch. The Red Sox have been, you know, not maybe as decimated by injuries as like the Mets, but their starting pitching staff has not been good at all. And there's a lot of talk about them going out and scouting some potential trade bait starting pitchers and seeing what they can live. I mean, obviously, David Price, you know, is working his way back. He made a rehab start. I think they're talking about maybe another week or so. They'll get him back. You put him with Chris Sale. I mean, it's a dynamic 1-2 punch. They just got to get some people pitching well at the back end of the rotation, who, whether that's, you know, guys coming up in the minor leagues, trades, or just some of their injury guys coming back. And they'll, you know, they're kind of like the Cubs. I mean, I'm not ready to write them off here because we're sitting here on, you know, May 15th and they're, you know, a little bit under 500 or whatever. I mean, there's a long way to go. A lot of baseball still to be played.
The three teams that are ahead of the Chicago Cubs, the St. Louis Cardinals, Milwaukee Brewers, and the Cincinnati Reds. Of those three teams, who do you think is the biggest threat of the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central?
Cardinals. Yeah.
Do you think the Brewers or the Reds have any kind of legitimate threat at all?
Well, I think they're better than they were a year ago. You know, I think that, you know, I like the Reds lineup. I don't like the Reds pitching. You know, and so basically the same thing with the Brewers. That, you know, Thames has been a godsend to them, you know, with Braun being out and stuff. I still like Ryan Braun. I think he's a good player. But I think they've got some good young players. I probably like the Brewers' younger players right now better than the Reds' younger players in terms of position guys. But I think they're the same problem as the Reds. They just don't have any starting pitching. They're going to have to make some of those young players available probably or else open the books and go out and sign some free agent starting pitchers this year. They tried that in the past and it hasn't always worked out, but maybe they could try it again and get some people in there this year.
All I know is that when the Cardinals were 3-9 at the very beginning of the season, I'm like, man, maybe this team is a little bit worse than what I anticipated they were going to be. Then they go on this nice little run, and I was kind of surprised, I don't know about you, Rob, that 6-0 road game sweep was the first time in the history of the franchise that they've done that. That's amazing.
Yeah, you would think that somewhere along the line, I bet you they've had a 7 or 8 game trip and probably went 7-1 or, you know, 7-2 or something like that. So, I mean, the fact it was only a 6 game trip probably is the telltale factor there. But still, that's a pretty amazing stat in 125 years of baseball that they never did have a undefeated road trip of at least 6 games. Yeah. Now, and won 9 in a row now on the road. So when they get through this homestand here this week against the Red Sox and the Giants, then head out to California and Colorado, they're going to try to keep that streak going a lot as well.
And Colorado has never been kind to the St. Louis Cardinals. Playing a course Canaveral has never been kind.
It's a tough place to play. You know, it's
amazing.
But you know, maybe this is a different kind of club. You know, this is not going to be a Cardinal club. It's going to hit 200 home runs. Although they hit 3, you know, yesterday, and they've hit, you know, some before. But you know, they're going to win games, I think, more traditionally. You know, playing, you know, good starting pitching, using a good bullpen. I mean, what about the job that Rosenthal's done lately?
Yes.
And then playing much better defense and stealing a base or two. I mean, that's, to me, going to be the key to whether this club can be successful or not.
I keep waiting for the Brett Cecil of the Cardinals sign to show up, though.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
I think that's maybe the only real piece that's missing. It's just for Brett Cecil to be as dominant as he was in the past.
What I don't understand is why they keep putting him into, you know, situations where all he can do is lose.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't understand that either.
There's got to be a 5-0 lead or a behind by 6-1 or something, you know, some type of an opportunity like that where you can get him in to get him some work and try to get himself straightened out without trying to force him into games where the outcome's still, you know, still in doubt and still the game's still in play.
Rob, enjoy the two games on Tuesday and Wednesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
I will. Thanks. See you.
Thanks, Rob. That is the great Rob Raines from STLSportsPage.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Rob Raines. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, Rocky and I are going to talk about Tom Brady's newest conquest that he sees right before his eyes. It's got nothing to do with football. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.